This gentleman came to see me, and when I asked him about his condition, he said he had a condition called trigeminal neuralgia. And since I haven't experienced it, I'm choosing to believe everything that he said about it. But one of the things that stands out in my mind is he told me that if he didn't get relief, he was considering taking his own life. And so, you know, I kind of perked up when I heard that, and I said, okay, we got to do this very seriously. And so I told him that one of the things that happens, and I know this is going to sound overly complex, or maybe it's going to sound too simple, because I'm skipping a lot of the steps. I don't think that I have to explain everything to you, but let me just say it this way. When you have a nerve fiber, and actually, I know I'm digressing, but yesterday I was reading in a textbook about the skin, and it was saying that in 1 inch of skin, you have approximately 18 miles of blood vessels. That could be capillaries, could be veins, but 18 miles. You talk about an intricate network. But then the next thing just really, really floored me. It said in the skin, you have, in just 1 square inch of skin, you have 78 miles of nerves. I kind of thought to myself, okay, is blood important? Well, yeah. Well, why would you have 78 miles of nerves and only 18 miles of arteries? Well, obviously they each serve the unique purpose that God has designed them for. But obviously the nerves are critical to you being a human being, or to us being humans. Anyway, I just want you to know that there's a lot of nerves under the skin. And in this man's situation, he was telling me that this nerve was eliciting so much pain, and it could not be turned off with drugs or medicine or medical procedures. I do not remember how many neurologists he had been to, but he was not a happy camper. And so I told him, I said, one of the things that happens is a person could have a legitimate injury. It could be from a viral infection. It could be from bacterial. I don't know if you've ever heard of somebody having shingles before. You talk about pain, buddy. I've never experienced it, but I believe it is real. So, but one of the aspects is you're trying to stop this negative downward spiral of pain that's just out of control. And so a person could actually heal from shingles, but they could have a condition called post-herpetic neuralgia, where the pain fibers are still screaming information back to the brain that this hurts, this hurts, this hurts. And so you're trying to find a way to turn that off. Now, again, I know this is an oversimplification, but one of the chemicals that is released by the nerves is called substance P. P as in Paul. And so this substance P, if your nerve fibers continue to release it, then you're going to experience pain. P for pain, not Paul, but you knew what I meant. And so I gave him a recommendation. I said, okay, back in the 1970s, there's a salve that's produced medically that's called, I just forgot the name of it. Anyway, the other one, it's called Zostrix. That's funny, I should have written that down. But Zostrix, it was first available by prescription only, meaning a medical doctor had to write a script for it in order to go get it from the pharmacy. But Zostrix, guess what it's made from? It's made from an extract from a pepper called a cayenne pepper. It's called capsaicin. So there's another product that you might find over the counter called capsaicin P. It's based on the scientific research that when a nerve is chronically inflamed or irritated, or it keeps sending these continual pain signals back to the brain, and you know where I'm coming from, if you've got this, you're hurting all the time and you're just begging for some way to shut this or turn this off. So back to this guy with trigeminal neuralgia that was thinking about taking his own life. I told him, I said, okay, this takes maybe about 2 to 3 weeks for it to work. So you're going to have a little bit of faith as you do this and you move forward. So he agreed to it, and I think we kind of came to the idea that we'd do this about 5 to maybe 8 times a day. And what you're doing is you're taking this cayenne pepper salve, capsaicin P, or the one called Zostrix. I think Zostrix, and, you know, I think he went down and got it at Discount City. That tells you it was a long time ago. I mean, how long has it been since Discount City has been closed for a bit? It's been a while. That used to be one of my favorite stores because it kind of reminded me of the old mercantile or mercantile store. So I had him rub it over the area of pain where these nerves are just firing these substance pain signals back to the brain that they're hurting. And I think it took almost 3 weeks, but it completely turned it off. He became completely pain-free. I think he was a new man. He could return to singing, which was the love of his life. Anyway, I'm just trying to suggest to you that maybe God has given us all these beautiful things in nature because he loves us and he cares about us. And he wants us to have comfort. But sometimes we get in the way. But those cayenne peppers, they might be pretty awesome. The other thing that I thought of, years ago there was a study, you know, this is the month of July, but at some point in the near future we're going to move into what's called cold and flu season. Do I want you to miss work for 5 days straight because you're sick in bed and you can't move and you're achy and you're sore and you're exhausted and you have a fever? Well, no, I don't want you to do that at all. I know you've heard me say before that every 1 degree your temperature increases, meaning your body temperature, that the efficiency of your immune system increases by about 2,000%. I mean, it's a huge number. I cannot make that up. And so if you check your morning temperature and it's like 95.8 degrees, then you got a serious problem. You're a pretty cold person. Your hands are cold. Your feet are cold. If you turn over in the middle of the night and you put your bare foot on your husband's back, he might recoil in utter pain and shock because your foot's like an icicle. Well, this is what cayenne pepper is for. And this one study that I was referring to from the British Medical Journal, they tried this genius experiment. The reason why I call it a genius experiment is because it didn't involve a drug. No, no, no. I wish it had as part of the control group, but it didn't do that. They talked to these people because it was a particularly bad year for influenza or the flu. And they said, here's all we want you to consider. So they tried to do a get ahead of the curve on this. And they said, here's what we want you to do. The very moment that you feel like you can sense that you're a little bit off or like maybe you're coming down with the flu, all we want you to do is to go to some restaurant that serves extremely spicy food. And I think they, this was in London, so I don't think they had like a on-the-border Tex-Mex, Mexican food restaurants, you know, at every corner. But they did have Indian food. And you can get some Indian food that's so spicy that your eyes water and your nose runs and you feel hot and there's sweat on your brow. Anyway, it's great stuff. So they talked them into that. And that's the only thing they did. They said, the moment you start to come down with the flu, immediately go eat the spiciest Indian food that you can get your hands on. That's what they did. You know what the success rate was? 87% cure rate. Now, you know, one way or the other, that I'm right about this. Your nose, your sinuses, your throat, your digestive tract, your lungs, your eyes, all these are coated by these very generous mucous membranes that produce mucus. And actually, in mucus, there is an enzyme called lysozyme. And this lysozyme is the very thing that has its God-given ability and its work to defeat viruses. Mm-hmm, that's right. So, the recommendation given by the British Medical Journal was, the moment you start coming down with the flu, eat enough spicy food to the point where your eyes water and your nose runs. Now, what my remedy is, in a pinch, if it's an emergency, and I've done this on two different occasions, it's been a long time, but I'm telling you it works. I remember one time I was driving to a state far away, and I felt horrible for some reason. Maybe it was a combination of not enough sleep. Maybe I pushed a little bit too hard. Maybe I was stressed to make it to a location by a certain time. Anyway, you get the gist of it. I feel, oh no, I feel like I'm coming down with something. I feel horrible. I think I have a fever. So I pull into a grocery store, maybe it was Walmart, and I just bought a bottle of this remedy for like a dollar and change. Actually, it wasn't a large bottle. Maybe it was $2 at the most. It's called Tabasco sauce. And you would agree with me that Tabasco sauce is pretty hot. But the way that I did this is I took a tablespoon, and I filled that sucker up with a Tabasco sauce and took it straight down. Yes, it's brutal. But you know, you come to a point in your life where you go, do I really want to be sick for 3 days, or do I want to clear this and get over it as fast as possible and strike while the iron is hot? Well, yeah. So I can endure 5 to 10 minutes of suffering if it means I'm going to be well. And of course, it is brutal, but it works. And so, this is just a technique for rapidly purging the body of toxic viruses and bacteria. I know there's no medical studies other than what I'm telling you from the British Medical Journal. Maybe there are. I just haven't come across them. But if I do, I'll pass them on to you. If you'd like to join me on the radio this morning, 586-5257. But for the rest of us, what you might do is try somewhere between an eighth of a teaspoon to a quarter teaspoon of cayenne pepper. And you put this in a cup. Pour hot water over it. Add a tablespoon of lemon juice. If you want to take a little bit of raw honey and add to it for flavor, this will definitely warm you up. And so, if you're coming down with a cold or a flu, this could help you have a fever so you can get over it. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
I have a quick question for my, this is for my brother-in-law, lives down in Florida, and for some reason, they're giving him iron infusions. They say he's losing blood somewhere, but they can't find where it's going. So they're giving him iron infusion, and his wife wants to know, is there something else they can do for him?
Yeah. Okay, let me talk this way. I know this is going to sound crazy, but just listen to what I have to say.
Okay.
There is an organ in the body called the spleen. The spleen, yes, to me is one of the most fascinating organs. I think it's not studied as much as it should have been. But the spleen is incredible. It holds this generous reserve of an ability to produce red blood cells when your body's in a crisis. And so here's the punchline. If we can get him, it's called desiccated spleen. It's just basically when they take a calf to the meat processing plant, they carefully remove the spleen. It is dehydrated, just like you might, low temperature food dehydrator, below 118 degrees, and basically with the fan and the low heat, it just dries all the water out, and they just grind it up and put it in capsule or tablet form. But anytime a person's losing blood, I think one of the best ways to support them is by giving them some spleen extract. That's easy to do. It's really not going to be any different than him eating liver and onions or, you know, eating a steak. It's still a cow part.
Yeah.
You think he'll be okay with that?
I don't know.
Well, would he prefer this over dying?
Well, I would think so.
I'm sort of making a joke about that. I shouldn't do that. But anyway, but he's got a leak somewhere, and so all the blood vessels are leaking. So the biggest drugs of all time that cause the blood vessels to break apart and leak are going to be things like aspirin and Xarelto and Plavix and drugs like those. Is he taking blood thinners?
I don't think so.
Well, what do you do when you spray? Now, there, you know what the oldest condition of all time is that causes you to leak blood and they don't know why it leaks? It's called scurvy. Oh. When a person has scurvy, all the blood vessels start to break apart. I bet you anything, he bruises very, very easily, doesn't he?
I don't know. I haven't seen him in a good while with them in Florida and us up here in Texas.
How old is he?
He's in his 60s.
One of the age-old treatments when somebody is leaking and they don't know why is for them to sunbathe a little bit every day. Because what happens when you sunbathe, your body starts making what's called cholesterol sulfate. And to me, I find this topic very fascinating. But when somebody has very low amounts of cholesterol sulfate, they almost always have either dementia or Alzheimer's, or they have very significant memory loss. And so what we want to do, if we give him some vitamin C, that will help strengthen all the blood vessels in his body. And when the blood vessels are stronger, they tend to hold themselves together. They glue themselves together so they don't leak blood.
Yeah.
And so that would be one of the things that I would consider.
Okay.
The top foods to make the body leak are called sugar, sugar, and sugar. Now, the exception would be if he wants to eat blueberries and raspberries and strawberries and fruit. That's not really a problem, but refined sugar in the form of like a Mountain Dew or a Dr. Pepper, that's different.
Yeah. Well, his wife says he needs a pacemaker also, but he won't have that done for some reason.
And what I said earlier, if he's willing to go sit in the sun several times a day, not to the point where he's being burned, but his body's going to start making what's called cholesterol sulfate. And as crazy as it sounds, sulfate is what makes the blood really, really slick. And so I think you've heard me say before, they went into a nursing home years ago, and they asked a question. How many gallons of blood do the kidneys filter a day in people that are bedfast, or what I should say is sedentary? You know what I mean by sedentary, right?
Yeah.
And they came to the conclusion of it's about 200 gallons a day of blood that is filtered. And that may sound impressive, but somebody that's active like I am or you are, you're probably filtering about 2,000 gallons of blood a day through your kidneys. And that's
wow.
Not any difference, because the more passes that blood gets through the heart and then through the vessels and through your liver and kidneys, the healthier and stronger a person is going to be. And so you want your blood to move through pretty slick. You don't want it to move through slow where it starts to leak.
Yeah.
And so he needs sulfur. And so sulfur foods are very, very simple. It's things like eggs and garlic and onions, kale, Brussels sprouts, asparagus. Did I mention broccoli yet?
It's a good diet.
Yeah. And you could put butter on all of it to enhance absorption. But if he's got a leak somewhere, we've got to strengthen those lining of the blood vessels where they don't leak. Now, one of the studies that I read the other day, they do this to lab animals. I know it doesn't sound great, but I'd rather them do it to rats than to human beings.
Right.
Besides, I set a rat trap outside last night for a rat, and I put peanut butter all over it. I said, there's no way he's going to get that peanut butter without the trap going off. Well, guess what? The rat was able to get every last drop of peanut butter without them making the trap, so they're smart. But in this lab experiment, what they did was they tried to create a situation of essentially Alzheimer's or dementia in the rats to make them forget everything.
Yeah.
But what they found was that small white blood cells called neutrophils, when there's inflammation in the arteries or in the brain, they start sticking to the lining of the arteries, and that prevents blood flow. Well, in the study, they gave these rats a substance called resveratrol, and that's a polyphenol or a substance or molecule is found in like red wine or grape skins.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, these rats stopped forgetting, and they were able to go backwards and start doing all the things and the tricks and the work they could do before. And the researchers are going, oh, my word, we've just discovered a way to kind of like unlock memories, you know, what people have forgotten. But that's where resveratrol and vitamin C may restore the circulation to your brother-in-law.
Okay.
When I told you, yeah, I know that doesn't sound attractive, talking about taking spleen extract. But if what they are doing is working, then there's no need for me to step in and take over.
I don't think it's really working because
evidently
they've been
it's
doing
not.
This.
For how long?
I'm not sure exactly how long, but it's been a while. And it's not helping him. He was a judge, so he's always been a little on the sedentary side. So, you know, maybe he's just... I know he used to run all the time. You know, he'd get up early in the morning and run before he'd go to work.
And he's probably a great, great guy, isn't he?
He really is. He's a wonderful man.
But he's in his 60s. That means he's very young. He's too young. Now, okay, can I be a little bit more direct here?
Sure.
If I had my way, the quickest way through this is we just got to take him off all processed foods because there's nothing in there that heals the body. It's just a burden of the blood. The faster that blood starts moving through his arteries and veins and capillaries, the healthier he's going to be. Because when blood moves faster, you have stronger arteries, everything's cleaner, you detoxify faster, you deliver more oxygen, nutrient-dense blood to all the cells and tissues, and they start working the way that God designed them to. And so if I had my way, I would start the process of what's called intermittent fasting or a feeding window. I would recommend he eat just two meals a day, lunch and supper. Now, in his case, when the blood is leaking like this, I'm telling you, I would take it just real seriously. So I would say meat one time a day. That would be fish or eggs. I don't think I would use anything else. And I would have one green salad a day and probably make his lunch into a smoothie. Now, if it were me, the smoothie would probably be filled with berries because berries contain all the compounds that you need to restore blood and circulation and to strengthen the arteries where they do not leak. So, in his case, I'd probably use a banana, though, because it makes it pretty creamy.
Yeah.
But I would probably take a pinch of cayenne pepper and add to it.
Oh, okay.
The this is complicated, I know, and I apologize about that, but every cell in your body, one of its main tasks all day long is trying to maintain the structure of the water that you're composed of.
Yeah.
Now, I know you've heard this before, but we're probably easily 70% pure water. But,
yes.
But the truth is, 99% of all the molecules we're made of, or all the elements, we're basically 99% water. And so the concept of what's called structured water, well, for example, when you eat a cucumber, the moisture in the cucumber, that is structured water. When you consume, if I told you what I think about coconut water, it's got to be one of the greatest elixirs on the earth. But coconut water contains what's called structured water. It's perfectly balanced. Your cells drink this up. His heart and his arteries and his blood will drink this up. You know how back in the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, I think it's verse 11, the Lord tells us the life is in the blood.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be your brother-in-law's solution right now. And so he's going to have to start thinking out of the box. If what he is doing is not working at restoring the quality of his health, he may have to actually just take the bull by the horns and say, okay, I'm going to do this differently. And so if he said, I'm going to skip breakfast, I'm not going to have any coffee, he can have all the water and herbal teas he wants. But if we don't start doing something that's going to promote healing and repair, then he's going to keep getting more of the same, and he's just far too, you know, I've got this iPhone 6 here in front of me, and I have these news feed articles. I read about people that are young that die every day.
Yes.
And it's just incredible. And, you know, I'm not trying to be morbid or morose, but there is no end to people that are very, very young that die prematurely. And who am I to make that comment? I mean, they're in the good Lord's hands. But to me, on a human level, I think to myself, that person was just 37 years old, or that person is just 22. I can read about 19-year-olds having heart attacks and dropping dead.
Yeah.
But I would say if we could focus our energy on rejuvenation and healing and repair, then we've got something. But he just needs to be restored.
So
I would probably give him more of a raw foods diet because that has vital life force and nutrients. So a raw green salad every day, if he wants to put eggs on top of it, that's perfectly fine by me. But all those things are going to help him. If he had a smoothie for lunch, you can doctor those things up. Get on Pinterest or Instagram or Amazon. No, I started to say Amazon. That didn't even make sense. I meant to say YouTube. But you can look up, how do I make a healthy smoothie for lunch? Yes, Amazon.com. I botched that one.
That's all right.
Yeah, you can.
You did too much good otherwise.
You can forgive me for that, can't you?
Oh, yes.
But if we had like a raw smoothie for lunch, oh my goodness, with some coconut milk and coconut water, his blood will be teeming with electricity. That's what we want.
Yes.
And he lives in Florida. We should take him to the beach every day for 15 minutes.
Well, they're right there close, so I don't know if he gets out there or not.
Well, since he's a judge, we can't force him at gunpoint, can we?
No, not hardly.
Hey, how about we trick him? Hey, sweetheart, there's a man giving free samples of hot chocolate to Coca-Cola at the beach. You want to go? And then when he gets there, they go, oh, I guess we missed him by a little bit. Okay, well, oh, well, we might as well sit here.
Well, I will be calling her and telling her these things.
Please, and, please do. Give her my very, very best. I'm rooting for her.
Okay, and I want to tell you that the the hibiscus tea that you were talking about
a
couple of weeks ago for the kidneys, it works wonderful.
Oh, what a good girl you are. Give me some feedback. Thank you so much.
Yes. It has helped me tremendously.
Well, how do you think it's helped you?
Well, I'm not getting up 4 or 5 times a night to go to the bathroom.
Do you miss that?
Not at all.
Sorry.
It's wonderful to...
Oh, good girl.
Maybe get up once, maybe twice a night. And so it works. It's got my blood pressure a little lower, but...
But that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
I mean, was your blood pressure high or was it low?
Well, I've taken blood pressure medicine for quite a few years.
Well, you may have to talk to your doctor and say, maybe I should take 5 milligrams instead of 25.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yes. But I think that's wonderful, so I really thank you for that information.
Well, you know who designed... You're welcome. You know who designed the hibiscus flower?
No, God did.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know who found out that drinking it would do so much good.
Probably the person that lives where they have a lot of hibiscus. I mean, isn't it the most beautiful, amazing color when you pour some hot water over hibiscus flowers?
Oh, yes.
You could.
I even went down and bought one of those Keurig, or whatever how you say it, coffee makers, so I could just run the water through and, you know, have a cup of hot tea wonderfully.
So you just put those hibiscus leaves in that little bitty container and run the hot water through it, and bingo, you're there.
I'm there.
Well, guess what you're doing? You're drinking all the vitamins and the minerals and the nutrients and the elixirs that come from the hibiscus leaf. So, way to go. You're such a good girl.
Well, I love it. So, I really thank you for,
you're so welcome.
Telling people about that.
Well, thanks for trying to take care of your dear brother-in-law. I wish him the best.
Well, I sure do. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Besides, the world needs honest, healthy, morally sound, physically fit judges. Okay, here it is right here. And I'll make this just real quick. A research group at Cornell University. Okay, where'd I get this? If I click on, it comes from the journal Nature Neuroscience. If I click on that, I'll get off the page. Hang on just a second. Let's go to this phone call. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I guess I have a pretty simple question, maybe. I've got a cough. I probably had it now about 2 weeks, and I've tried different things, and because I don't use medicine, so I've used, like, you know, lemon and honey. I've done that, different kinds of teas, and I've even made, like, onion poultice and things, but I still have it. Sometimes I don't hurt. I don't have a sore throat, but I just might start coughing, you know, just, you know, maybe just walking around and just cough. And it doesn't hurt or anything, but, and I've been taking garlic, but I wondered if you had any other thing that you might suggest for me.
Where do you think the cough is coming from, the upper lungs, the bronchioles, or the lower lungs?
Well, I guess I would say the lower lungs. You know what I'm saying? I don't really know that.
Okay. But if you tell me that's your gut instinct, I'm believing you.
Okay, thank you.
Does anything come up out of your lungs when you cough?
Sometimes, a little, but hardly ever. My husband says it sounds like I'm coughing up my lungs.
Oh, no.
I just... you know, I don't, it doesn't hurt, or I don't, occasionally a little bit, but sometimes, no. Most usually, no. I just cough, you know, and just cough and cough, maybe for a couple of minutes or so, and then a stop and start again. And it just, it doesn't happen any certain time. Well, sometimes I feel like it happens if I'm going from, if I'm hot, real hot, you know, and then come in and it's,
yeah,
it's cooler. The change, sometimes it seems like that might facilitate it. I'm not really sure.
Do you have much sinus drainage at all?
No.
Do you, does your husband say that you snore at night?
I'm sure I do. I know I do. But, you know.
Okay, yes, well, I'm going to give you several different ideas, and surely somewhere in here we can come up with a plan that's doable. Okay. Step number one. You know, I'm making a lot of assumptions here, so just let me take artistic liberty and license to take a stab at this. One thing that I would do if it were me is there's a real cute little pretty herbal plant called thyme or thyme. I just think they look so cute, and I just think that the honeybees love to go to them. But you can go to the grocery store, and you can buy that spice or the herb called thyme or thyme, T-H-Y-M-E.
Okay, I made that. Did you know I made that? I looked that up, and I made that one day. I did it, but I just did it one day. I just took the you know, spice that I had, and I made some thyme tea.
Let me give you a different delivery system.
Okay.
If you had like a stainless steel tea kettle, if you don't have one, they cost like $9 at the store, maybe 10 for a fancy one. But if you put water in there with a pretty good spoonful, just one spoonful of thyme or thyme,
yes,
just bring that to a boil. The reason why I prefer a steam kettle, this is just my own opinion, is because you've got that throat. And it just it directs all the steam toward that throat, so it kind of shoots it towards your face. If you're, you know, 18 inches away with a towel over your head, you're going to get this thyme-infused steam. And if you just breathe deeply for about 10, or just breathe in through your nose deeply into your lungs, you're trying to get the medicinal properties of the thyme or the thyme down to the lower lobes of your lungs. But what will happen is between those two things, between the thyme and the steam helps dissolve some of that gunky mucus in the lower lobes of your lungs, where we can clear the very reason why you have the cough in the first place. So you're pretty tired of this. I want you to get over it. So if you would do this twice a day for just a few days or a couple days, see if your cough doesn't become amazingly better, if not healed.
Okay.
The other thing, and you're just going to have to kind of accept this on faith also, but some of the most simplistic studies of all time show that when you go to bed at night, if you will put on one of those Breathe Right nasal strips over your nose, you're going to increase oxygen to your lower lungs by about 25 to 75%. And I'm telling you, that's huge. And so if all of a sudden you no longer snore, if you sleep deeper and better, if you feel like you've actually accomplished something, but you have literally the most oxygen-rich blood vessels in the lower lobes of your lungs, not the upper ones. And so that's what we've got to do.
Okay, and so those are, what did you call those, the Breathe Easy?
There are several names, but I can tell you, if you go to the large department stores or the Mart stores, they usually have a section near the pharmacy where they have nasal saline solutions. They have like Flonase, Allegra sprays, you know, stuff you spray in your nose over the counter. They probably have every sinus and cold remedy. But down the lowest shelf, closer to the floor or the ground, they have these boxes of these plastic adhesive strips that kind of have a springy bent to them, and you just stick them to your nose and it opens up your nose at night.
Okay.
And sometimes they're called Breathe Right strips. That's the brand name. You may have seen a commercial on the internet or on television, but I'm telling you, these things are magical. When I say magical, I don't mean magic like, you know, Egyptian pharaohs throw down something to make a snake or something like that. Not that.
Okay.
I just meant to say it as in a very, very impressive, the results. But if you would try that, what you'll be doing as you sleep is you'll be actually getting more oxygen to your brain and your lungs, which is so, so critical. I mean, oxygen, you can never underestimate what will happen when you give enough oxygen to the body. Now, I don't expect you to know this, but they have very specific treatment clinics and systems here in East Texas. They treat wounds, chronic wounds. We're talking about a person who has like a sore on their leg, and it's an infection, and you can see the bone and the muscle is just gross, but it's just the way it is. But what do you do when a person has a wound that will not heal, and you've already given them 2 million rounds of antibiotics, and you've put a vacuum pump on there, and the body just won't heal? That's what they take them to a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. Have you ever heard of that before, when somebody has a wound that won't heal?
Well, we used it. My first husband had cancer, and that was one of the things they used.
Yeah, oxygen. Well, yes. In cancer cells, most of them, they hate oxygen. They want to like live in the dark and ferment everything. They don't want to be around a high oxygen environment. And so that's one of the things you're doing, is you're trying to get more oxygen in your lungs. And so those breathe right nasal strips to hold your airways open, they are worth every penny.
Okay,
that's got to be one of the best uses of money that I know of.
Well, the
other thing that I'm going to recommend is, when you have a cough that won't go away, we're trying to heat up your lungs. And when you heat up the lungs clear, because the lungs are, the inside of the lungs are like millions, if not billions, of little cilia-like projections that move everything along in mucus-like conveyor belts. And so you might try making the cayenne tea that I referred to earlier. Basically, it's just about a fourth of a teaspoon of cayenne pepper in a cup. You pour hot water on top of it, and you add a tablespoon of fresh lemon juice and maybe a teaspoon of raw honey. Stir it up and sip on that. When it's warm, it works better, but you will start sweating. But heating up your body is one of the ways that you clear anything.
Okay.
So fevers are actually very, very good, you know, to accomplish the task they're set out to accomplish.
Okay, now I have done, you know, a couple times the lemon with honey, and I have used the cayenne pepper too, you know, I have done that. So I guess I just need to continue.
That's right. Just sip on this stuff all day long. And yes, you may have a few extra bowel movements, you may urinate, but you know, your body needs to clear. Doesn't it need to detoxify? Of course. So give it a shot and see what happens.
Okay.
Maybe your husband can take and cup his hands over your lungs and drive the evil spirits deep from your lungs out of you.
Well, we've prayed for me too, and I know the Lord has given healing, but I appreciate all that you shared.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope it works out really well. Thanks for your phone call, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right,
okay, bye-bye.
All right, I've decided I don't need to start something and not finish it. So there was a research group at Cornell University, and what they discovered was that very specific types of white blood cells known as neutrophils, what they do is they actually stick, or they adhere to the smallest blood vessels in the human body. These are called capillaries. But the net result is, or what happens because of it, when neutrophils stick to your capillaries, this reduces blood flow to the brain. Now, what they did was, in this animal study, they gave a monoclonal antibody, which are antibody blockers that prevent the adhesion of roaming neutrophils to these capillary walls. And there was an immediate restoration of mental performance and working memory of laboratory animals. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? So this was the year 1998. They're trying 20 different drugs, but they haven't found one drug that they can use without side effects yet. But in 1998, they found maybe a substance that does the same thing at very low concentrations. You care to guess what it's called? It's called resveratrol. This is going to be that specific polyphenol or a molecule that's found in grape juice or grape skins or red wine. And so, what else did it say right here? I know I'm taking these things and trying to make them sound very simplistic, but I thought to myself, what would happen if at the very moment that a person started noticing memory loss, if they start taking resveratrol? Very interesting. If you'd like to join me on the air, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. There's probably about a good 15, 16 minutes left in the program. I'll be glad to take your phone call. That's 903-586-5257. In another experiment, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program. I'm Dr. Morgan. How can I help you?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have an itch on my arms. I've tried putting different medications on it. I can soothe it down for a little bit, but when I bathe, and it starts itching again, and it's very, very irritating.
Where on your arms?
Between my wrist and my elbows.
Are you taking a drug of any kind?
No.
Usually if it's between the wrists and the elbows, the two organs I think about would be the liver and the kidneys. But is there any chance you've come in contact with either poison sumac or poison oak or poison ivy?
No, I have not.
Okay. Yeah, well, that has such a characteristic look to it. You would have told me you had poison ivy.
You know, I've been there before. Yes, sir, it sure does. But what's good to give me some relief from that?
Well, the one thing that kind of pops in my head that should take the itch out of that, if you find a salve at the health food store that contains what's called CBD oil, that should stop the itching just about instantaneously.
CBD oil, okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's usually, it's an extract. They use carbon dioxide and distillation to diffuse the CBD out of hemp oil.
Okay.
So it comes from the hemp seed. But that is very, very effective for terrible itches in the arms.
Oh, super. I've got to try that. I've tried castor oil on it, and it gives some relief, but it doesn't seem to last.
Have you tried olive oil?
No, uh-uh.
You might try olive oil. There's a plant that grows almost on every piece of property I've ever seen. It's called plantain. It's got this kind of broad leaf. I don't think it's ugly, but, I mean, plantain, if you find a salve made with plantain, it may cost $11 tops, but if you rub that on there, that'll probably take all the itch out of it also.
Ooh, I've got to try that also. I've got to find a cure for this because it is very, very irritating.
But you're not taking one drug on any level, right?
No, sir. I was in to see you, and I'm taking some health things for building up. I wanted to get just feel good.
But I always think about the liver or the kidneys if the itching is in the forearms. How many times
have
you get up to urinate?
I've had issues. Yeah, I've had issues with my kidneys in the past, and that might be telling me that's what it is.
Well, that's just one clue, because when you find the elbows and the forearms or where the irritations are, you start thinking, okay, is the body telling us that we'd look at the kidneys? You know, the very simple thing that you could do is for the next 3 days, just to completely abstain from dairy products and from wheat. Just have only fruit and vegetables. Just do that. So have a green salad, make it as exotic as you want, and have like a smoothie for lunch or something like that. Just avoid all meat. Give your kidneys and your liver a break and your rest, and see if this doesn't help it to go away.
Super deal. I can do
that. Okay. I wish you the best, buddy.
You bet. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. Plenty of time for a phone call. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. When I was reading the article, they showed the only form of resveratrol that really has the tremendous beneficial effect at unblocking clogged blood vessels was called trans resveratrol. T-R-A-N-S, trans, as opposed to the one called cis. I know that's a little bit technical, sorry. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for your phone call.
Good. Oh, thank you. Thank you for taking. Happy 4th of July.
Thanks. You too.
Hey, quick question. Last week we were talking about, oh my gosh, I'm having a brain warp here. It totally slipped my mind what we were talking about last week, but it was, oh, body temperature.
Yeah, there you go.
And you had, maybe I need some resveratrol.
Well, something has got to unclog those blood vessels where you can remember.
That's exactly right. So you were talking last week about thyroid and low body temperature. So I got online and I started doing some research. And there's a syndrome called Wilson syndrome, where your testing is normal but your temperature is low. So my temperature runs low.
You mean testing as in a laboratory test to measure thyroid levels?
No, we did the temperature thing like you had suggested for 3 days.
What do you mean by normal but low?
When you go to the doctor and they do a thyroid panel on you.
Oh, well, that's what I was saying, the laboratory. So if you do a thyroid panel, that's normal on the blood test.
Correct.
But your temperature's low.
Correct.
Okay,
and it may be in the low normal range, but it's still in their normal range. You know what I mean? The doctors have their range.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I always say to them, well, your low is too low for me. your normal is too low for me.
But the most accurate thing of all time is your body temperature. That doesn't lie.
Okay. So we're running 95, 96.8, 97.
And you know, that doesn't have to relate just to the thyroid only. I mean, your thermostat of the body is your hypothalamus.
Okay.
And so that has a lot to do with emotions, for example. And so that is your master control gland. So if the hypothalamus is a bit weakened, you can have a low temperature just from that. If the adrenals are very sluggish, that could easily contribute to a low temperature. Basically, any gland that produces and secretes hormones, if it's not working right, you can produce a low temperature or low metabolism. But the thyroid is usually what gets the credit for all of it. But thyroid's a big one, though.
Okay. So do you do thyroid work?
Every single day.
Every single day? Okay.
Can I give you an example? Okay. If I examine a person and they test to have very high levels of a substance called cortisol, I can turn to them and say, what is the greatest way that we can literally beat the crap out of the thyroid to keep it from working well? Too much cortisol. So we have to address the reason there's too much cortisol. And these are just examples. I'm not trying to make it a panacea, but let's just say, for example, a person is very, very deficient in magnesium. What are some of the symptoms a person's very low in magnesium? Well, one of them is they're very, very ticklish and they crave chocolate.
You
don't know anybody like that, do you?
No, but I don't crave it. I just want it.
Okay. I'm sure that's the more accurate of the two ways to describe that. But without magnesium, your body cannot rid itself of excess cortisol. And so if excess cortisol is unopposed, it wreaks havoc on the thyroid, because probably 95% of all thyroid control is based on what your adrenal glands do. And so if it's a person, well, it's pretty accurate. If a person tells me, I feel so calm and chilled out and relaxed, I feel really good on the inside, that's one thing. But what if a person says, I can't tell you the last time I felt calm, I don't feel good on the inside, I feel like I'm a nervous bundle of energy, I'm all jittery, I just wish I could feel chilled out and relaxed. You know, I'm right next door to this business where they sell products, and these products involve... Never mind. We'll talk about something. But anyway, to make a long story short, 95% of the regulatory control of your thyroid is going to be based on what your adrenals do. And your adrenal glands are how you respond to stress. And so we've got to be able to come back and pinpoint where the greatest area of stress is coming from. If not, you're just trying lots of things for the sake of trying them, which I'm all for that if you're doing something natural. What is the end result? What do you want to accomplish? What would make you very happy?
Oh, my. Weight loss would be number one, always has been number one. But I honestly feel fine, except for just recently, I feel heavy. Is that weird? I feel heavy. Not you know, like my steps feel heavy.
You know, one of the fat-soluble nutrients or vitamins that's been shown to make a person feel heavy is vitamin D3 deficiency.
And I have that, and I take a lot. I take a lot. I take 10,000 a day.
And you're out in the sunshine, aren't you?
Yep, all day. Most of
the day. The one food that the research shows blocks absorption and utilization of vitamin D3 would be wheat. Now, that's just simple information, but you probably don't eat wheat, do you?
I probably get wheat, but I don't. I limit it. You know, no bread.
But you spend time outdoors in the sunlight, don't you?
A lot.
Exactly.
A lot. And I'm dark.
When you say dark, you mean from Africa dark?
No. Oh. But I tan well.
Yes.
I don't burn, you know. I tan well. But, yeah, I'm
well,
out in the sun a
now,
lot.
When you quoted the temperatures a while ago, were you saying that is your temperature 95.8, 96 degrees?
Yeah. I had the flu, and it was 103.5, and I said, no, my flu was a lot higher than that.
You ain't kidding. 103.5 is, you weren't getting up and dancing a jig, were you?
No.
Okay, so what we got to do is we got to find out where this is coming from. So, other things that have been shown to totally suppress the thyroid to keep it from working right would be too much production of estrogen. And so, I know what I'm about to say, and it's not meant to be, you know, an attack or anything like that. I'm meant to be helpful. But when you have too many fat cells and they're too large, they can take on a life of their own and say, you know what, we think it's just really good to start synthesizing and pumping out estrogen right now. And so they can do that.
Wow.
It's called aromatization of estrogen. So one of the reasons to lose the excess weight is because you want to stop your body from making so much estrogen. And so in saying that, if you have too much estrogen, that has been shown to suppress the performance of your thyroid.
Well, I'm overweight, but I'm not
overweight.
But
no, and I don't think you are.
Yeah, but
I can tell by your voice.
Yeah, I had a gym doctor who called. Said I was actually malnourished.
Malnourished? In what way?
Mm-hmm. In, I guess, the way my body burns fat, burns things. He says I'm not eating enough or the correct food. I was like,
well, what was the suggestion to correct that?
His diet plan for $4.99.
$4.99?
No.
Oh. $4,999? Might as well be, huh? Well, I mean, it is in your best interest for your... See, if you were to measure your morning temperature when you wake up before you get out of bed, I would say that's very accurate. We'll call that the basal, you know, temperature.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said last week, like at the Broda O. Barnes test, where they just stick a thermometer in your mouth when before you get out of bed, and if it's like 95.8. But, I mean, there's tremendous room for improvement, and so...
Yes, okay.
So here's what I would say. Number one, you're trying to help assist your body. It's just that the thyroid is by far and away the easiest gland to poison. And so you've heard me talk about the use of nonstick cookware and plastic.
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
those things, they tend to damage the thyroid, and it makes it nearly impossible for a person to lose weight.
I just thought of something.
Uh-oh, what is it?
My flour, and I remembered thinking of this when you first mentioned that months ago. My flour and sugar is all kept in plastic, in the bag, but in plastic, and it's the old Tupperware. It's not the new plastics that say on the label PBA-free or whatever.
I think one of the best ways to upregulate how your body detoxifies are with sulfur-rich foods.
Oh, okay.
And so high sulfur is going to be things like kale and cabbage and cauliflower and broccoli, asparagus, onions, garlic, radishes. What else did I not think of? Eggs. Anyway, grass-fed beef. So those are things. Seafood is usually higher in sulfur.
Okay.
But the proof is, as your temperature goes up, you should be able to plot on a graph your weight loss.
Okay.
And so one of the ways that you can accomplish that to help your body accomplish its goals is through what's called intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So that would mean not even having coffee for breakfast.
I thought I was I thought I was intermittent fasting for the last couple of weeks and doing really well. Till you mentioned the coffee this morning, I said, oh, crud, that blows it.
Oh, well, listen, it's not an attack, but it's just, for most people, when they consume coffee first thing in the morning, their liver starts spooling up production of insulin and glucose. And so that's kind of counterproductive. But if you had your coffee like with lunch, we could sure do that.
No, I'll have tea in the morning. The herbal teas, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's brilliant.
But I chuckled this morning when you said that. I said, uh-oh.
Is it easy for you to perspire and sweat?
No.
Well, why don't you have the cayenne tea right before you go out for a walk each morning?
Okay.
That's going to stoke the fire big time. You should be perspiring and sweating. But something's got to give. You're just trying to help your body open up the circulation, release toxins. So,
I do have a suggestion. The gal who had the nose issue that you said use those strips to open up your nose.
Yeah.
I use an oil, and it's a massage oil. It's called Deep Blue, and the company makes a Breathe, but it doesn't work for me. So I have sinus issues on one side of my head, and I can feel when it's getting really congested. But if I put that massage oil under my sinus and behind my ear down my Eustachian tube,
oh yeah,
I have not had an antibiotic in 7 years.
Well, tell me what the punchline is. What is the Deep Blue composed of? Is it eucalyptus?
Probably. Yeah.
Is it menthol or camphor?
I'd have to let you know. I don't know. I don't have one right in front of me here.
Are you sure it's called Deep Blue or Deep Chocolate? Which one is it?
It's Deep Blue.
Oh, Deep Blue.
But it's an essential oil. It's by doTERRA.
Well, and, does it have like a pretty aromatic, aroma to it?
No, more of a menthol aroma to it.
Well, do you think it's peppermint?
I'm walking over to find a bottle and...
Oh, I bet you anything will tell us.
You know, the writings are so small, I can't read them.
See, every plant and herb and flower on the planet, it probably has some medicinal value.
Let's see if I can read what's in here. Okay, wintergreen.
Wintergreen, there you
Camphor.
Go. Camphor, okay.
Peppermint.
Peppermint, there's your menthol.
Blue tansy.
I don't even know what a blue tansy is.
Mm-hmm. Blue cameo. Helichrysum and some other flower that I can't pronounce.
That's all right.
But
that combination works really well. And if you kind of
under
your nose and sinuses and behind your ear,
down my Eustachian tubes to just open that hole. You had said warmth. You had said warmth with that cayenne.
But that really works well for you, doesn't it?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, good.
Yeah. As soon as I feel that congestion coming on, I start doing it. My head drains, and I don't get a sinus infection.
Do you rub it on your husband's Eustachian tubes?
I do. He makes me, yes.
Oh, he makes you? How does he do that?
He asks nicely. Okay. I don't feel good.
That's brilliant. I don't feel great, sweetheart. Could you please rub some of your blue...
He doesn't like touching the oil, though.
He doesn't like that?
No.
You know what? That's actually very clever on his part. I'm just thinking... You know what, sweetheart? I really don't like touching those. Could you do that for me?
Yep, exactly.
Man, he is a genius. I'm going to write that down. That's one of the best plays I've ever heard of all time. I've learned something today. Sorry, I've already got. I didn't even pay attention to the clock. I lost track of time, but we're out of time, unfortunately.